From the automotive capital of the world, welcome to The Car Show with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
When I come up to a stop, if I use a brake and stop, then when I let off the brake to go, it jerks.
Problems with your car, truck, motorcycle, minivan, or RV? The solution is just a phone call away. 1-800-859-0957. That's 1-800-859-0957.
I put new front rotors, and when I turn left or right with my foot on the brake, I get a pulsation of the ABS.
And remember, The Car Show is designed for everyone, whether you do your own work, take your car to the dealership, or to the independent service center of your choice.
When it's cold and I start to move, it like the transmission slips and then it catches. What's the answer for that, guys?
Your calls and more when The Car Show returns.
Brake operation is critical to vehicle safety. CRC Industries, the makers of BrakeClean, is proud to offer a number of products for brake-related service and repair, like CRC synthetic brake and caliper grease. Used to reassemble both disc and drum brakes, it resists moisture and will not wash off. And CRC Ceramic Brake System Grease is a synthetic dry film ceramic lubricant formulated to reduce brake noise and vibrations. You can learn more about these and other great products right there at CRCIndustries.com. Coolant leaks can be costly and they typically happen to vehicles that may not be worth fixing. K-Seal is a pouring solution designed to stop leaks and help prevent future leaks. Featuring ceramic technology as opposed to sodium silicate, K-Seal will repair the leak without clogging. And now there's K-Seal Ultimate. Developed to tackle the most challenging coolant leaks, K-Seal Ultimate features 33% more sealing power than the original K-Seal. K-Seal Ultimate is now available at Walmart. You can learn more at kseal.com. And remember what we tell you, you don't just seal it, you K-Seal it.
This is The Car Show with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
It is. Remember, we're live every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern. Just call us, 866-365-7746. We'll answer your question. That's why Dan's here. Dan loves to answer questions. I ask him many questions, and he very rarely gets snippy or slaps me anymore.
Well, why? I have your credit card number.
That explains a lot. And now I can explain it to my wife. What's with the bills? Like, I think that's Dan again, honey. Want to remind everybody as we get started here that we are brought to you in part by K-Seal HD. Designed for larger engines, K-Seal HD can help you avoid costly repair bills and downtime. It's a simple permanent solution to cooling system leaks. It's available nationwide at parts stores like AutoZone. You can learn more at kseal.com. Or you can do what we tell you and don't just seal it, Dan.
We always K-Seal it.
We do. It's great. What has been going on in the shop this week, Dan? Anything good?
Oh, everything's good with this weather. It's unbelievable.
Oh.
So, you know, I don't want to bore anybody. Of course, naturally, a lot of no starts because of
course.
Batteries that needed to be changed a long time ago. And we all know, too, people think that it's the winter months that kill a battery, but in reality it's not. It's from heat and vibration. So,
and you don't find out until it's cold.
Exactly. But, you know, in our region, of course, you know, we've had weather down to, you know, zero or more.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, we'll hit on wind chill a little bit when they say it's minus 30. Well, yeah, that's to your bare skin.
Yes.
People don't realize that. But
your car doesn't feel that.
No. So I had one vehicle that came in. It was a 2015 RAV4 Toyota with a check engine light. And the concern was, especially with the snow on the ground, was the fact that the all-wheel drive light was illuminated too.
Really?
So this scared her. You know, I need my all-wheel drive. There's snow on the ground. Turned out to be that anytime the check engine light would be illuminated, it will trigger and turn off, for an example, the all-wheel drive or traction control. In fact, like your vehicle with your phone call yesterday,
you were a little
concerned about the traction control light and thought something happened when you had that transmission service. But in reality, no. What happens when you have a smaller displacement engine, the traction control and all that's disabled because guess what? It takes more power to use these systems.
Okay. But I didn't know that. Okay.
Right. In her case, in reality, what fixed the problem of her all-wheel drive was replacing the the purge, the canister purge valve, okay, for the emission control system.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, part of the fact that with that being illuminated and the purge system not operating, as soon as that repair was made, and of course I, you know, went to my favorite AutoZone store and picked up a Motorrad purge valve for this, which was great because it was in stock and cleared the system out. And guess what? Gone. No all-wheel drive light. Everything was back to normal. And, you know, it had quite a few miles on it, 150,000 miles. Yeah. And, you know, over time, we have to remember there's fuel vapors that travel through that. And it really didn't fail electronically. It failed mechanically. So these solenoids or valves can fail two different ways.
Okay. And that's interesting. You're right. I did have an issue. We could talk about that a little bit. I've shared more than enough of my problems here.
Well, you know, and you do know I am not a psychiatrist. So take it easy on me.
I've learned that. But yeah, the issue I had with the oil, and then I got a transmission flush. I got the oil changed, got the transmission flushed, and
no,
then
it was not a flush.
Oh, no, it was a drain and fill.
There you go.
You are correct. I got a drain and fill. And I made sure I asked them that.
Yes.
I said, I don't want it flushed, drain and fill. And they did that. And I was overdue for that. And I was very happy. And then 2 days later, check engine light and the traction, stability track and the ABS, both lights come on. And so, of course, my first assumption is this has something to do with the transmission drain and fill. That something, they didn't put something in or did something and called you in a panic. And it's not that.
No. Well, you know, that's just like in the shop, too. I can put a, we'll say, a water pump on a vehicle, and 3 days later, I get a phone call. Hey, you had my car in the shop, and my right rear tire's going flat. You know, had nothing really to do with it.
Exactly. And that's why I called you. It's like, well, before I get myself too bent out of shape and want to go back and go, what did you do to my car? I want to ask somebody who knows. And that's why I called you. It's like, well, Dan will tell me, and Dan will tell me the truth. And, you know, looking at it now, it's like, yeah, I should have expected something like this to happen.
Well, then, you know, since, you know, you like to be someone to do it yourself, or I even I brought try. My little test equipment in for you, which so I'm, you can diagnose it yourself.
Diagnose it myself, figure it out, stand out in this 2-degree weather and try to repair it, which my wife said, you're going to try to repair it yourself? I was like, well, maybe if it was warm out. I'm not standing out in this cold.
Well, you know, if you would have left the car here, you know, the parking garage is heated.
I'm not sure how the Fisher Building would love me pulling apart my car in their deck. Not that I would ask. But yeah, I mean, when a check engine light goes off, you don't know what other stuff it's going to cause your car not to want to do. And I would have done the same thing. I would have been very upset with somebody if my all-wheel drive went out thinking whatever I had done to my car last, you know.
Yeah.
So it's good to know.
Yes.
And that's why you're here.
Sometimes.
Yeah. But you could call us Thursday, 866-365-7746. Ask Dan yourself instead of me asking Dan or us, you know, you hoping we hit on your problem.
Right. And, you know, and if you're shy, you can also leave us a voicemail.
Exactly. That's 313-405-9747. That's even easier because you don't really have to talk to anybody.
No.
You know, you just have to leave your name and number. Name, year, make, model, mileage on the vehicle, as much detail as you can.
Yep, always.
Very easy. We're right here every Thursday, 10 a.m. Call us. Why wouldn't you? Take charge of your battery power with Optima chargers and maintainers. They allow users to revive deeply discharged units and provide enhanced performance for AGM flooded and lithium batteries. Take Optima's Digital 400 Plus. It features a digital battery type selector for Optima AGM lithium, 12-volt auto or marine, power sport AGM, or flooded batteries. It has a built-in energy saver, and its LED screen indicates state of charge, charge voltage, and charging current. Optima Batteries, the ultimate power source. You can learn more at OptimaBatteries.com.
Coolant leaks can be costly and they typically happen to vehicles that may not be worth fixing. K-Seal is a pour-in solution designed to stop leaks and help prevent future leaks. Featuring ceramic technology as opposed to sodium silicate, K-Seal will repair the leak without clogging. And now there's K-Seal Ultimate. Developed to tackle the most challenging coolant leaks, K-Seal Ultimate features 33% more sealing power than the original K-Seal. K-Seal Ultimate is now available at Walmart. You can learn more at kseal.com. And remember what we tell you, you don't just seal it, you K-Seal it. Brake operation is critical to vehicle safety. CRC Industries, the makers of Brake Clean, is proud to offer a number of products for brake-related service and repair, like CRC synthetic brake and caliper grease. Used to reassemble both disc and drum brakes, it resists moisture and will not wash off. And CRC Ceramic Brake System Grease is a synthetic dry film ceramic lubricant formulated to reduce brake noise and vibrations. You can learn more about these and other great products right there at CRCIndustries.com. Today's vehicles are specific in the way they're made and with the fluids used to keep them performing at an optimal level. Designed to match the technology and color requirements of your vehicle, Peak OET Antifreeze Plus Coolant delivers excellent protection against rust and corrosion to all cooling system metals, including aluminum. Each coolant is formulated with the same corrosion inhibitor technology that protected your vehicle right out of the factory. You can learn more at peakauto.com. It's available nationwide at AutoZone, NAPA, and Amazon.com.
And now, back to The Car Show with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
Remember, you can email us, too, at thecarshowdetroit@gmail.com. We get the email. Dan answers the question. We reply to the email so that you get your answer quickly from Dan, not from me. And then we answer your question live on the air here, too, so that your problem helps other people that are having the same problem. Because usually when it's car stuff, a lot of people are having the same problem. I mean, you've seen that.
Oh, yeah. You got to remember, though, it applies to the same make and model.
Oh, that's true. Well, some stuff I would think.
Yeah.
You know. So there are some general maintenance items.
Tire pressure sensors, especially exactly. In this cold winter month and so forth.
Oh, yeah. Let's not talk about the cold. You'll get me started and I'll say things I'm not supposed to say on the radio. let's talk batteries. This week's Talking Batteries segment is featuring recycling your battery, courtesy of autobatteries.com, powered by Clarios, of course. Dan, we talk about changing your battery. And you do this a lot, so I'm sure you'll know more about this than you'll know more about it than I did. But recycling your batteries, very important to do, easy to do.
Well, most people don't realize that they are actually recycling, especially if you go to your automotive parts store, your favorite one.
They take it,
yeah. But they also charge you a core charge. So if you don't have that battery with you when you purchase your new battery, there's a $18 or $20 or $22 charge. So most people will see that $22 there, and they're going to recycle it. But so many times I see also people won't go back. They'll remove the battery. They'll put it in, and it's in the garage for years.
Yeah.
So you're better off to, and even if you do go to your, there's a lot of automotive shops and different places that will take your battery, okay, and recycle it for you. But even if you, we'll say you forgot about it, you don't have the receipt to return it to where you purchased the new battery for the core charge, you really don't get much when you do recycle it. Now, what we have to be careful about, there's batteries contain acid, and they have to be disposed of in a proper manner. So going back to that, that's why you would want to take it back to the automotive parts store, to your neighborhood automotive repair facility, or to a salvage place that accepts lead and acid and everything else, and then they take care of it from there.
Now, would there be a time like if I say I did that, I changed my own battery, put my lead acid battery in the garage, and it's there for a year, can I still take it and recycle it? Or yes. is there not a time limit on it?
There's no time limit, especially keep in mind too, everything now is retained by the computer. So if you went in, they use your phone number. And even if you don't have the receipt, you find it a year later, you go back to the store that you purchased it from. They'll look it up by your phone number, and then you'll get your credit back.
But there wouldn't be anything wrong with the battery.
No.
They can still recycle it.
Well, it's already bad.
Well, that's a good point. And what do they, just recycle the parts to make new batteries? They don't actually.
Exactly.
Because I heard somebody think that they recharge those batteries somehow.
No, they don't
do that.
Yeah, once a battery's degraded and sulfated, what they do too, like we'll say a lot of the places that will recycle the batteries, they actually reuse the cases in the sense of whether they reuse the plastic, melt it down. They get back to the acid area. They recycle the sulfuric acid and all the natural components and break it all down and then use the raw materials to manufacture new batteries.
Yeah, because this from autobatteries.com says 99% of people recycle their batteries. Recycling one battery keeps 20 pounds of lead, a gallon of acid, and not the plastic out of the landfills, which is nice.
Yes.
And it's aluminum cans, only 55% of people recycle them as opposed to 99% of the auto batteries. So it's like that's, even if it's only a few dollars, why would you not do that?
Right. Well, keep in mind, too, remember, 99% of it is recycled, but that's because of the fact that the store charges you money to return it. And most, you know, if it's a couple dollars, people won't bring it back. But when you're charged $20, $22, $24 for a core charge, they want to make sure that battery gets back there and it goes to the proper recycler at that time.
And that's probably why they do the $20, because you'll go back for $20.
Oh, yeah. Most people will.
Oh, I would. Oh, I might go swipe some batteries out of people's car. $20 a battery.
Well,
that's not
it
bad.
Doesn't work that way. If you find an old battery at the side of the road and take it in,
they won't give me
$20? They won't give you
$20. Well, then there's no point in worrying about stealing people's batteries then. You just killed my business model, Dan.
I know.
What about AGM batteries? Do you recycle? Can you recycle those too?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah,
because I know there's not the acid's not in those.
Right. No, it's not. Well, you know, keep in mind that there's basically three types of batteries. You've got your standard lead acid battery that you can remove the caps, and then you have what we call an enhanced battery, which is a sealed battery, and then of course the AGM battery. And again, there's another battery out there that you'll see more and more, and that's a lithium battery.
Oh yeah, yeah.
There's still lithium, you know, and, you know, a lot of the EVs out there today and things like that are lithium batteries. You get your hybrids that are changing over a little bit where you'll find out that the starting battery may be a lithium battery.
Yeah.
So something to be educated about. And I mean, even if it comes down to the point that you look at today's vehicles, more and more people will take it to a professional because of the location of the battery.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, they're either going to be in the front end, in the fender. They're going to be underneath a seat, whether it's a passenger seat in the front or underneath the rear seat. It'll be in the trunk.
Yep.
One
of the guys I work with here just told me a couple days ago, did you know your car battery's under your passenger seat? And I went, mine's not.
Yeah. Well, you know, being that it's inside the vehicle and there's less chances of vibration and heat.
Yeah.
I mean, I've changed batteries already that were, in fact, Gene over here in the studio. Mm-hmm. The same thing, his grandson's car. We put a battery in 2018, and what was it, 8 years old? So on an AGM battery.
So it lasts longer because it's kept warmer inside the car.
Exactly.
But it's harder to change because it's inside the car.
Right. And then, you know, with start-stop technology, an AGM battery works better than most, but there are some cars out there that will have two batteries, an auxiliary battery and also the AGM battery.
Well, that's interesting to know. I mean, you can recycle any battery, and it's also, you go to autobatteries.com, it'll tell you where the battery is in your car, so you can figure out whether you can do this yourself or you need somebody to help you or do it for you.
Right, and as a do-it-yourselfer, always remember, some vehicles require that you register the battery.
Yes.
And people, I don't mean for a warranty. Yeah. Registering meaning you have to let the computer know that the battery was changed. And why? As a battery degrades, the alternator has to increase its charging capacity for that battery that's failing. Mm-hmm. And if you don't tell the computer, notify the computer, hey, you have a new battery in there. I don't want you to overcharge me. So
it'll overcharge it and then kill the new battery.
Right. So that's why registering a battery is more important today than ever.
And recycling the battery is something everybody should keep in mind, even if you just let the guy take it, and they take the $20 off right off the bat. But remember to take that battery back number one is $20. Who doesn't want $20? Who's going to walk past $20? But number two, you're keeping all this stuff out of the landfills, which is good.
Right. Well, and there'd be an exception to that. We'll say you went to grandma's house, and grandpa worked on his car all the time, and there was three or four old batteries inside the garage, so there even more of a reason that, you know, you take them in and have them recycled.
Yes, yes. And so that's talking batteries. We always talk batteries here, Dan and I. I want to remind you, you can learn more about all of that at autobatteries.com. Let's do a quick email here, Dan. Now, we got a couple of minutes.
Okay.
No, we really don't. We got about a minute. So I don't want to get into that because that'll just interrupt us. Dan.
Oh, and one other point.
Sure.
When you go, and I've actually seen this, most people want price, especially with batteries. You know, it's not uncommon to have a $250 or $300 battery. Don't, when you go in, make sure that you want the recommended battery for that vehicle. If it came with an AGM, you do not want a lead acid battery in there. So I've seen that already. And, you know, had to make a...
People cheaping out.
Well, making a point to the parts guy, say, you know, that vehicle has an AGM. Don't sell them a battery that, oh, that's a good point. But people want price.
Absolutely. And I, you know, I've been there. I've done that. You want the cheapest thing you can get. That isn't always what you want.
That's true.
I mean, it's always what we buy, but it's not what you want. You get what you pay for is what you're telling me.
Yes.
All right. I guess I'm going to spend the money. This is The Car Show.
Coolant leaks can be costly and they typically happen to vehicles that may not be worth fixing. K-Seal is a pour-in solution designed to stop leaks and help prevent future leaks. Featuring ceramic technology as opposed to sodium silicate, K-Seal will repair the leak without clogging. And now there's K-Seal Ultimate. Developed to tackle the most challenging coolant leaks, K-Seal Ultimate features 33% more sealing power than the original K-Seal. K-Seal Ultimate is now available at Walmart. You can learn more at kseal.com. And remember what we tell you, you don't just seal it, you K-Seal it. Brake operation is critical to vehicle safety. CRC Industries, the makers of Brake Clean, is proud to offer a number of products for brake-related service and repair, like CRC synthetic brake and caliper grease. Used to reassemble both disc and drum brakes, it resists moisture and will not wash off. And CRC Celeramic Brake System Grease is a synthetic dry film ceramic lubricant formulated to reduce brake noise and vibrations. You can learn more about these and other great products right there at CRCIndustries.com.
The Car Show continues with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
It does. Remember, we are brought to you in part by Hotshot Secret and their Tick Fix Plus Protect, an advanced oil enhancer for gasoline-powered engines that restores smooth performance, reduces unwanted engine noise, and delivers unmatched wear protection. You can learn more at HotShotSecret.com. I just had an oil change, Dan, and you'll be proud to hear, and Hotshot Secret will be glad to hear, I replaced a quart of my oil with a quart of the Tick Fix Plus Protect.
Yep, that is, apparently you read the back of the bottle.
And I was very happy because I thought I was going to have to do it myself. I was going to ask them to only put 4 quarts in, and then I'd have to pull quickly outside and do it. And they were like, the shop I go to, no, we're more than happy to put it in for you. So right. I was very pleased.
You know, we had some product sent to us.
Yep.
And, I used it on a couple of the trucks that have known problems.
Okay.
And with ticking and all that. And then, of course, I tried to buy it, and I couldn't find it anywhere because it was a brand-new product.
And it's not out yet. It should be out sometime in January. So hopefully within the next couple of weeks, you'll be able to buy it at Amazon, and you'll be able to buy it at your retailers. Right now, you can only get it at HotShotSecret.com.
That's right.
So, but, yeah, I was very, very happy to put that in there. You were telling me off the air here about a problem you were having in the shop, or someone was having. It wasn't you were having.
Well, not so much a problem. So I have a customer that purchased a 2020 Subaru Impreza, and new to them, you know, low mileage car, 50,000 miles, and they were keeping it outside, and colder weather, they put it inside the garage, and every time she would go outside or into the garage area, she would hear this humming, couldn't figure out where it was coming from. And,
With the car off.
Okay. Well, what comes to mind, and I've had other vehicles in the past that the Something would short out in the system, and the fuel pumps would run on specific vehicles.
Really?
And my concern was, oh, boy, fuel pump's running, it's going to run the battery down. Well, it turns out to be, and not so much on the Subaru, but a lot of the vehicles out there have a emission control system pump that will actually push the fuel vapors through the system. And if there's, we'll give you an idea. We'll say it was 20 degrees outside and you put it in your heated garage and it's 60. That's when it would occur, because what would happen is pressure would build up inside the fuel tank. It was cold outside. The fuel's going to expand. So that pump is running. So it'll run until it achieves and moves the proper amount of vapors around in the system. So that is a normal thing. So if you do hear it, and she heard it, it was occasionally.
Yeah.
You know, why did it do it this time and not the other time? Well, it turned out to be, if you do hear something humming or running in the back, most likely it is part of the evaporate system.
That's interesting, because I never knew that. Yeah. I didn't know it would run with the car off. I knew, you know, everything was running with the car on, but with it off, that would freak me out too, that my car's humming. And I would think the same thing. It's like, oh no, is what's wrong with the fuel pump? What's wrong with this? Or, you know.
Exactly. Well, that's just like, too, didn't we have an email pertaining to something about the emission control system?
We do, a 2012 Buick Enclave. This is what they say. Apparently, I have an emission sensor built into the gas cap of my vehicle, and then it says, who knew? It's incredibly sensitive because it constantly goes off and activates my check engine light. Said I replaced the engine, the gas cap once, and it keeps going off. He said, now this is a quote for him. Personally, don't care about emissions. So is there any possible way I can deactivate this sensor so I don't have to keep going back to the shop to get them to clear it for me? Any help is appreciated.
Well, here's what we have to remember. There is not a sensor in the fuel cap.
Yeah.
It's a check valve. Okay.
Okay.
Atmospheric pressure, it may vent a little bit and whatever. It's got to have, you know, you think about it a little bit. If you have a straw in a container and you keep on, you know, sucking on that straw, it's going to cave in that container. Well, it's got to vent somehow.
Okay.
So that is where, for an example, like the cold outside, warm garage, it may vent a little bit to allow a little air in or out of the system.
There is that check valve at the top of the
It's built into the fuel cap. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
So, but here's what happens. A lot of vehicles out there will have in the instrumentation, it'll say check fuel cap. And most likely that vehicle has that reading. And the reason why a fuel cap, if you can leave that cap off, that's a huge leak.
Yeah.
So normally it's going to trigger that light. But in reality, there is a large leak somewhere else in the evaporate system. It could be a canister purge valve. It could be a canister vent valve. It could be from the last oil change, someone could have left, a service technician could have left one of the vacuum hoses off.
Oh, okay.
You know, things like that. So the next step to this would be is don't buy another fuel cap because you don't need it.
Yeah.
I would take it to a shop, and most shops today will have a machine that produces smoke. And what they'll do is they will pressurize the emission control system with low pressure, and they will have a dye-colored like smoke, and they'll have it up on a lift. And what they'll do when they pressurize this, they'll look around the vehicle and see if they see any types of leakage. It'll be a given. You know, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Of course.
You know that saying?
Oh, yeah.
And it's not uncommon. I've seen a lot, too, on older vehicles that a lot of the vacuum hoses will split over time. And it could be something as simple as a disconnected or split vacuum hose. So, yes, you want to worry about that because it is for our environment. I know you don't. He doesn't care about emissions.
Yeah, he said he didn't care about emissions. But he probably cares about the other stuff going on in his car.
You know, when you think about it, too, a little bit, you know, different parts of the country, you have to have...
The emission test.
Emission test. It gets your license plates. So,
right.
You know, it's critical. Do that, and it's going to be something, you know, you're going to spend a little bit of money, but in reality, you won't have that annoying light back on. And keep in mind, too, when the emission control system and the light is on, that puts everything in a predetermined setting. You know, you want to fix it. You don't want to have lights on where you say, well, I don't care about it. I'm going to let it go. So many times that I've checked vehicles, there are other hidden service codes in the system.
Okay, so if I have this happening and I take it to get my emissions testing, it's not going to pass because I got a leak in the system somewhere, correct?
Exactly.
And and going to getting my CRC
guaranteed to pass.
Guaranteed to pass. because it's crcg2p.com.
Right.
I want to say, I see the number two, and I know that's not going to help this
either.
No,
that won't. But, you know, I know some of our, one of the other emails today we have does have a gentleman that says that they told him he needed a catalytic converter.
Right.
So.
Okay. You're right. Let me find that here.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about it right now because that is, here
oh,
it is.
Oh, okay.
2010 Hyundai Elantra. A check engine light came on and was told it was his catalytic converter. His trusted repair shop, he calls it, told him to bring it back only when it started causing noticeable issues because his inspection wasn't due. So the car started having issues picking up speed. So when he accelerated, it got nothing dangerous or jerky, but he had to push much harder to get the speed he would normally have. He said, now they're replacing his catalytic converter. Is that going to solve this problem?
Well, keep in mind, too, if they made a determination by doing a pressure test of the exhaust system, mm-hmm. normally what they'll do is they'll remove a oxygen sensor, put a gauge in there, mm-hmm. accelerate the engine to 2,500 RPMs. And if they look at that gauge and it shows maybe, you know, 3/4 of a pound or more, then the catalytic converter is plugged. Now, here's the other issue. How did it get plugged?
Yeah.
Does the engine consume oil? So there's a victim and a culprit. Don't think that if you put on a new catalytic converter, it'll temporarily solve the problem.
But you could be installing a new victim.
Right. But what you need to find out before you do this repair and spend that money to see,
What caused that to start?
What caused it? And if it is an oil burner, if it's burning oil, you want to correct that problem first. Or as a step above that, the guaranteed to pass mm-hmm. can help cleanse that catalytic converter. So that's a good point. And what I like about it, and you know, we talk always about money.
Yeah.
It has a double money back guarantee. So if it doesn't work, you get twice your money back, you know? So you can't beat that, Brian.
You can't.
CRC is guaranteed to pass. You want to make sure you follow the directions on the back of the box and how to use it. And it's a very, very, very strong, we'll call it a solvent, a chemical, that will clean the whole fuel system, not only the catalytic converter. And for the little bit of money that it costs, it's worth a try.
Yeah, why not? I mean, you're right. If he's having trouble with the catalytic converter, those are very expensive to replace.
Well,
and somebody told me they had a car that had several on it, more than one catalytic converter.
Oh, yeah. Well, give you an example, like a Dodge Caravan, a 2015 Dodge Caravan.
Yep.
That has 4 catalytic converters.
Oh, my God. And are they all, because they have more, would it be less expensive because they're smaller or no?
No.
Because they all have the precious metals in them.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, no. I just want one, and I don't want to ever have to replace
it. Converters fail for a reason, whether, you know, lack of fuel system cleaning, misfire, oil consumption can actually cause a converter to.
So this guy's trusted shop is replacing his catalytic converter, but they might not be looking for what caused it to go
bad
in the first
place. Well, and here's the other issue. They may probably already made a determination that the catalytic converter itself is plugged. And he did mention in the email that he's having a little bit of, takes a little bit of time, which you think about it, you know, if you got a potato in the tailpipe and the exhaust isn't going out, you know, there's a good indication that the converter is plugged.
Okay. That's good to know. And it's good to, the culprit victim thing now makes, you're right.
Right.
That's the victim and you're just installing a new victim.
Right. And think about it. The engine is basically an air pump.
Yeah. Today's vehicles are specific in the way they're made and with the fluids used to keep them performing at an optimal level. Designed to match the technology and color requirements of your vehicle, Peak OET Antifreeze Plus Coolant delivers excellent protection against rust and corrosion to all cooling system metals, including aluminum. Each coolant is formulated with the same corrosion inhibitor technology that protected your vehicle right out of the factory. You can learn more at peakauto.com. It's available nationwide at AutoZone, NAPA, and Amazon. Take charge of your battery power with Optima chargers and maintainers. They allow users to revive deeply discharged units and provide enhanced performance for AGM, flooded, and lithium batteries. Take Optima's Digital 400 Plus. It features a digital battery type selector for Optima AGM, lithium, 12-volt auto or marine, power sport AGM, or flooded batteries. It has a built-in energy saver, and its LED screen indicates state of charge, charge voltage, and charging current. Optima Batteries, the ultimate power source. You can learn more at OptimaBatteries.com.
to The Car Show with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
I want to remind everybody that we're brought to you in part by Peak, formulated for use in all vehicle makes, models. Peak all make, all model antifreeze plus coolant delivers superior lifetime protection. You can learn more at peakauto.com, or you could buy it in store or online at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Dan, speaking of going to the parts store, here is an email. This person doesn't mention what kind of car or anything, so hopefully this won't be too confusing. He did his brakes. He did his own brakes for the first time, he says, because it cost a fortune to have a shop do it. So he said, now, because he saved so much money, he's motivated to do other things. Now, he says, I've heard oil changes aren't worth it due to the cost of oil and the oil filter and the time that it takes. But it seems, he says, at least from a preliminary search, he could get oil and filter for around $50. He says, so initially he'd need a few items, but he's wondering, is it worth it to change his own oil?
Well, you know, again, he didn't give us make or model.
Right.
You know, it makes a big difference. Some vehicles are very simple and others are a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, too, he mentioned that's going to cost $50. So maybe he has a truck that holds 7 or 8 quarts.
Mm-hmm.
Because normally all your automotive parts stores will run these specials where you can get an oil and filter package for like $30.
Right.
And that's with a full synthetic oil.
Okay.
So it's a loss leader. You go in there and you buy your... you know, your oil, your filter, and then all of a sudden you need wiper blades. And
you see a bunch of, I always see a bunch of other stuff I need while I'm in there.
Right.
And even if I don't need it.
Exactly. Now, and here's what you have to remember. First of all, you have to have a way to get up underneath the vehicle.
Okay.
So you can either do it with drive-on ramps, which you got to be careful. You have to make sure you have the proper containers to catch the oil going into the drain pan. Some of the vehicles will have a element instead of a spin-on filter. You got to make sure you have the proper tool to take the cap off of the oil filter housing in order to get to that.
Right.
Then you have to keep in mind, too, that sometimes, you know, in the shop environment, you'll have these special little trays and different items that will catch the oil because you may remove the oil filter, and then all of a sudden it runs down the subframe, and you have a mess. So it's dependent on the vehicle. Now, if you would have said what kind of vehicle he had, we can make that recommendation. Then the most important thing after that, you don't take your drain oil and pour it on the weeds in the backyard. You know, you want to recycle that drain oil, which, again, can be accepted to where you bought your oil and filter from.
Oh, really? The parts store will take
my
oil?
The parts store will take
it.
Or many, in fact, I have a waste oil furnace in my building, so I use the oil to heat the building.
Oh.
So, you know, a lot of automotive, even your corner, we'll say your neighborhood shop.
Yeah.
You know, we'll take that oil, especially if they have a oil burning furnace.
Oh, I knew I could take it back to like one of those quick oil change places.
Yes, they'll do it.
I didn't know I could take it to like AutoZone or Advance Auto Parts.
You take that oil right to them, and they'll recycle it for you.
I bet they would love to see me coming at them with a big pan of oil too.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I've never thought about it, but if I have a truck, if he has a truck, would he need to have a way to lift the truck up? Or could, if he's got enough room to slide under, because I'm a big guy, I could slide under a lot of trucks.
Well,
could you do it that way?
Well,
or do you still need to lift it?
Well, if you're sliding without a creeper, you know, something to
slide
on, if you're underground, you may be able to make it.
Okay. I just wondered, it's like, you still need to lift it for some reason.
You
don't if it's a truck.
You know, and it's safety first. You know, make sure you have nitrile gloves to protect your hands if oil spills on it.
Right.
You know, other issues or concerns would be, too, you don't want to get burnt because that oil is extremely hot. You should change the oil when the engine is hot.
Okay.
And the reason for that is it emulsifies. Everything is just floating around in there, where if you would do it on a cold engine, two things can happen. You don't get rid of all the contaminants. It stays on the bottom of the pan. And then it's a given that if you let an engine cool down and if it has a spin-on filter, sometimes you can't get that filter off. It is so tight. You need the heat in order to remove that oil filter.
And do you need a special, I think I'm remembering this right, don't you need a special tool to put that filter back on and to take it off, like a special wrench?
Yeah. There's many different sizes.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get, sometimes depending on where the oil filter's at too, you may not be able to use that wrench. There's no room to travel. They'll make a cup that you can put at the end of the filter so you can use an extension and a ratchet to unscrew it. So there's a lot to it now, but here we go again. If he just purchased this vehicle, he's going to have it for how many years? Right. And, you know, over 30 oil changes, if he can save $50.
That's true.
That's a substantial amount of money.
And it depends on what is worth to you. To me, it sounds like something I could probably do. I don't want this mess. I still have to haul the oil back somewhere. I'm just going to pay you to do it for me. You know, you go to the shop or go to a quick change. It's like, you just do it for me because this sounds like something I'm going to get in trouble with. Or it's going to I'm going to spill the oil. I'm in trouble because I'm spilling oil everywhere.
Well, and off, you know, in the get-go would be, if this is your own vehicle, you know, you're going to have to invest in having the proper container.
Right.
In fact, it's not a bad idea to buy one of these containers that have a closed face that has a plug in the center and a cap at the end where you can... You don't have to pour it into a different oil container.
Right.
You just take that to the recycling place. They empty it for you. They give it back to you. Take it back.
That's true. If you're gonna do it yourself anyway, you might as well have the right tools to do that stuff.
For that specific vehicle.
Yeah. Okay. This person has a 2015 Dodge Caravan, and they said they just started having this problem. They're using the key. They use a key to start the car. It's not a push button. Once my hand is off the key, so the key turns back that little bit, sometimes the engine just turns off. So most of the time I need to hold the key in that position for about 5 seconds. Then when I let it go, the engine will continue to run. It says sometimes when I turn the key and the engine didn't start and I let go of the key. So sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I said, now the most scary thing is if I'm driving, I accidentally hit the keychain with my hand or my leg, and the engine's running like on the freeway, the engine turns off. He said, I'm not sure what I can do about this and what's causing it.
Well, you know, over the years, Brian, we've talked about this. I mean, especially women, you'll see they have...
400 pounds of stuff
right,
on their keychain.
They have their mace. They have their little billy club on there. They have all this stuff.
Several decorations, a toy. Cindy's the exception to the rule. She has just her key and the fob.
Right, and that's it. No more than maybe a house key or whatever. But, you know, a lot of vehicles today will have a push button where you can keep keep it in your purse, keep it in your pocket.
Yep.
But sadly enough, this person with this caravan, they're going to have the ignition, the actual lock part of it, even though it's made out of a plastic, that has failed because of the weight. And you heard what the person said, accidentally bumped the keychain, which tells me there's a lot of weight on the end of it, and that's what made it fail. So, you know, you don't realize when you're driving down the road, keys are bouncing. You hit a bump and they're bouncing.
And swinging back and forth with the road.
So, you know, and that's why it failed. So the only fix to this would be is, in fact, that... Believe it or not, when it comes for the repair, that's not really a do-it-yourselfer thing. It's going to have to be done by a professional.
Yeah, and you'll probably get a new key, correct? Because of the is there a chip on those keys?
Well, the chip is within that ignition lock cylinder. So what they're going to be changing. In fact, a lot of the vehicles, some of them, but I think it was a little bit older ones. They had a recall, safety recall, due to that. So you may want to go to the NHSTA site and see if there's, or just Google it. Google in that year, make and model, and put
Yeah, if
put
you
down,
Google in recalls, it'll show you the NHSTA, National
Highway
Transportation,
Safety Transit Act.
And then you can enter your VIN number, and it'll tell you if there's a recall on your vehicle, which is nice.
And it may not have, but that's a starting point.
Yeah, and maybe take a lot of that stuff off your key ring
after you have it repaired, or even now,
I would do it now, so you quit bumping it and shutting your car off while you're running.
Yeah, so in other words, you know, we call a key fob, but you know, in reality, that's called a phobic, FOBIK, which is, you know, an ignition key and fob.
Oh, okay,
phobic is what it's called.
Okay, I didn't know that. Learn something.
Isn't that terrible?
That's great. I think we did okay today. You want to do it again next week?
No, we'll hang out for a bit.
We're here if you want to call us. We're not going anywhere. Until then, have a safe driving week ahead.
Brake operation is critical to vehicle safety. CRC Industries, the makers of BrakeClean, is proud to offer a number of products for brake-related service and repair, like CRC synthetic brake and caliper grease. Used to reassemble both disc and drum brakes, it resists moisture and will not wash off. And CRC Ceramic Brake System Grease is a synthetic dry film ceramic lubricant formulated to reduce brake noise and vibrations. You can learn more about these and other great products right there at crcindustries.com. Coolant leaks can be costly and they typically happen to vehicles that may not be worth fixing. K-Seal is a pour-in solution designed to stop leaks and help prevent future leaks. Featuring ceramic technology as opposed to sodium silicate, K-Seal will repair the leak without clogging. And now there's K-Seal Ultimate. Developed to tackle the most challenging coolant leaks, K-Seal Ultimate features 33% more sealing power than the original K-Seal. K-Seal Ultimate is now available at Walmart. You can learn more at kseal.com. And remember what we tell you, you don't just seal it, you K-Seal it.